Welcome to the weekly Sermons and Studies podcast at First Baptist. Today's speaker is our senior pastor, Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
So what you've just seen is a town in northern Greece called Kavala. When it was founded in the 7th century BC, it was not called Kavala. It's had several different names over the years. It was known then as Neapolis, which is simply New City. And it became important to Philip II of Macedon, who in the mid 4th century BC renamed a town that was about 16 kilometers away. He named it after himself. When you're the king, you can do that. So he named the town Philippi. And Neapolis was his port. That's where he would receive the goods that would go to his city. And so it was an important city. It became important around 42 BC. In 44 BC, if you remember from high school, Brutus and Cassius were co-conspirators in the assassination of Julius Caesar. You remember? Et tu, Brute? Well, et tu indeed. And they based their armies there at Neapolis as they were preparing for the Battle of Philippi. So that little port town that you just saw has been pretty important throughout history, but it's mostly important to us today because that is where the Apostle Paul and his missionary companions first stepped foot on European soil. There's a monument there at a church. There's the Church of Holy Saint Nicholas. There's a lot of churches to Saint Nicholas and a lot of reference to Saint Nicholas in and around the Aegean Sea because in the Eastern Orthodox tradition, Saint Nicholas is the patron saint of sailors. And so you see a lot of Saint Nicholas around there. But there at the Church of Saint Nicholas in Kavala is a monument that the Eastern Orthodox Church erected to indicate that this is where Paul landed. And before that moment, there were no Europeans living in Europe who knew the name of Jesus of Nazareth. They didn't know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They didn't know that Jesus had died on an old rugged cross on their behalf and that 3 days later he had been raised from the dead. They didn't know. They didn't know that there was hope that transcended the world in which they lived. No, all they knew was the Roman system at the time, which was an extension of the Greek system before that. That there were gods who lived on Mount Olympus, and if you pleased the gods, they would help you. They didn't know everlasting hope until Paul and his companions showed up. But then Paul and his companions came, led by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, and they delivered the message of Christianity to Europe. And it all started there. For our group being there, it was beautiful. It was an absolutely beautiful day. There's a rainy season in Greece that we got to capture the end of. We will never forget being in Ephesus. And it poured on us. Now, one of the things we saw is that the design of the Roman roads in Ephesus was such that the water channeled to one place and you got to walk on dry ground even in a monsoon. And then we got out to our modern parking lot where the bus was and there was a lake in the parking lot. So our engineering didn't quite match up with the Roman engineering of a couple thousand years ago, but nevertheless, it was a beautiful day. And we ate lunch there, looking out across the waters of the port where the boats were still coming in. Boats much different from what Paul would have sailed on. I don't think he had a motor, but he had a sail. And he had the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. And his companions came. And Europe changed. It changed drastically. To the point that if you go there today, if you go to Mykonos, a little island where no biblical history happened. It's a tiny little island, but there are over 1,200 churches on Mykonos. If you go to Santorini, a little island, the Black Pearl of the Aegean, where no biblical history happened, there are over 1,200 churches on this tiny island of Santorini. Many of them have blue domes, and they're very pretty to take pictures of. If you go to Rome, within the ancient walls of the city, there are more than 200 churches and basilicas What's the difference between a church and a basilica? Well, a basilica has a relic. That means they have part of an apostle's skull or finger in there. So Ralph Dillahay said, maybe one day First Baptist will have one of my bones. I don't know. I said, no, y'all are good. So Europe changed as a result of their going there. But what struck me as we were there, eating incredible seafood, looking out over the Aegean Sea with cats and seagulls wandering around us, waiting for scraps from the table, was that the way that God got them there was by telling them no repeatedly. They wouldn't have gotten to Neapolis had God not said no to their going to places they thought they should go to spread the gospel. And of course, there's nothing sinful about going to a place to spread the gospel. So this was God's leadership saying no to one place to say yes to another. And as a result, the world changed. We're going to see that today from the Word of God. Would you pray with me? Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your word believing and knowing that it is unequivocally true, and the history that we will read today from Acts chapter 16, Acts actually and absolutely happened. So help us to read this history, seeing your intervention in it, so that we might understand that as our history is written, you are still intervening in us today. And along with the Apostle Paul and his companions, we pray a simple prayer. Lead us, Lord. In the way that you would have us to go, lead us. By your holy word and by your Holy Spirit, lead us to trust you enough that we would actually follow you, whether we have a reason why or not. Whether it makes sense in the moment or not, whatever the case may be, we pray, lead us, Lord, and give us the courage and faith to follow. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to invite you to open your Bible to Acts chapter 16. If you're in the room and you're looking at the red pew Bible in front of you, that will be page 925. Today we're going to look at verses 6 through 10, and I want to give you this theme. Lead me, Lord, when you tell me no. Have you ever had God tell you no? Well, I have. The longer I live, the more it happens. And we're going to look at why God tells us no. And we're going to look at what we're supposed to do when God tells us no. So the theme for the message, lead me, Lord, when you tell me no. Acts chapter 16, we're going to look at verses 6 and 7. This was penned by Luke the physician as he was carried along by the Holy Spirit. And he says this. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak a word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Our first point today is this. Like a good parent, God sometimes says no. Like a good parent, God sometimes says no. Now, if you're like me, you just heard a list of places. And they're great places, but you have no idea where they are. So we actually have a map. So I'm going to ask our guys to put on a map. And I went to Walmart last night and got me a fancy new laser pointer, and we're going to see how this works. But let me just read this again. They went through the region of Phrygia. So here's Phrygia and Galatia. So by the way, this is Asia Minor. This is all modern day Turkey. So when you're reading the Bible and you're reading the Galatians, well, it's going to the people who live in the green here. What's in the green? Well, Derbe's there, Lystra's there, Iconium is there. You remember that at Lystra, that's where they picked up Timothy. They came to Derbe and to Lystra. So Timothy was a Galatian. How about that? So when you read the book of Galatians, that's what we're talking about, okay? So they came through Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak a word in Asia. Look at the red mass over here. So God said no over here. They couldn't ease into Asia and proclaim the gospel because God said no to that place. Then when they had come up to Mysia, so up here, when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go in Bithynia. Right? So they wanted to go up from Mysia into Bithynia, and what happened? But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So that's what's happening. They're traveling through Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, wanting to take the message of the gospel to these places, and God is saying no. Like a good parent, sometimes God says no. Incidentally, that's free today. If you are a parent, you have to learn how to pronounce the word no. And if you are a parent who never tells your children no, don't worry, we can tell, okay? The Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 15, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, isn't it? Yeah, and we're the children of God. Isn't that interesting? So guess what's bound up in our hearts? Folly, and God loves us enough to say no to us occasionally. In fact, if you go to Romans chapter 1, you can read an account of how God reveals his wrath against mankind by giving us the ability to have what we want. Multiple times in Romans 1, it says God gave them over to their desires. God gave them over to their lust. One of the worst things that God can do for you and me is to give us exactly what we think we want. Because how many of you have come this far along? We don't even know what to want. We don't even know what to want. And so sometimes God says no. And he does so as an act of grace, as an act of mercy. Think about it. If you're keeping your grandkids and one of them gets some metal utensil and wants to jam it into the outlet in the wall, what do? You say no, right? Because you just want to keep them from enjoying their freedom and expressing themselves? No, because you want to avoid electrocution that day. That's a good thing to do, avoiding electrocution. So what do? You say, no, let's not do that. And God loves us enough to tell us no. Incidentally, it wasn't that God wasn't going to reach into these places. He was just going to use somebody different to do it. I told you before that the Apostle Peter kind of disappears from the pages of biblical history after the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15. And then he reappears later before his death, sometime between 64 and 67 AD. Well, what did he do? Well, we know that he addressed 1 Peter from Rome to, this is the recipients of that letter, the elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So again, looking at the map, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So did God reach into those places with the gospel? Evidently. Peter's writing to him like he knows him. It could be that the Apostle Peter went there. So just because God was saying no to Paul going into these places didn't mean that God was saying no to the gospel going into these places. No, God had a plan, and God's plan didn't just involve Paul. That's good for all of us to capture. There's a thing the kids are saying these days. As soon as I say it, it won't be cool enough to say anymore. But if somebody is acting like the whole world revolves around them, they say you're giving main character energy, right? They'll say, oh, you're the main character. And the insinuation is that if the whole world is a stage, you feel like you're at the center of it and everything else revolves around you. And sometimes our prayers can give off main character energy, can't they? But did you know that there are literally billions of people other than us on the planet? And God's not just working in us, he's working in the lives of billions of people all at the same time to accomplish his will. So what do? We say, Lord, what's my part? What am I supposed to do? And how many of you have come this far? You can't do everything. Well, isn't that a release? You can't do everything. and neither can I. You're not that good, and neither am I. And neither was Paul. So what was God doing? God was being God and expecting Paul to be Paul. God was being God and expecting Peter to be Peter. God was being God, and guess what he does? He expects us to be us. So what did Paul and his companions do? Look at verse 8. So, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. So let me show you this one more time. They're passing by Mysia, and right over here is a little coastal town of Troas. And it was an important town. Do you know that Troas had what is required for missions? Do you know what's required for missions? This is really important. If you're going to go on a mission trip somewhere, something has to be true of that place. You ready? There have to be people there. That's it. There have to be people there. You're not going to go preach to, you know, hippopotamuses living, I guess it's hippopotami, living in the water. I don't know. There got to be people there. Well, there were people at Troas. So what did they do? Well, second point, when God says no, we take the next right step. He didn't tell them to quit. He didn't tell them to turn around and go back to Antioch. He just said no to Asia and Bithynia. So what did they do? They kept moving forward. They kept going to where the people were, just like the Little Mermaid. That's the missionary call. I want to be where the people are, because that's what God wants to save, is the people. And so they went to where the people were and waited for God to give them their next steps. And so many times that's what life is. College graduates, hear me in the name of Jesus. So many times you're not going to know what's coming next. I thought when I had a child that I would get the download of dad wisdom that all dads just knew. And you know what happened? Griffin was born and it didn't come. And then we had another one. Reagan was born and I still didn't have it. And so much of life was just saying, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm going to take the next right step. I'm going to use the word of God to teach me what is sin and what is not. And I'm going to flee from sin and take the next right step, because I really don't know what the next step is, but I'm going to trust God that he's going to open that door. How many of you can relate to that? Yeah, it's life. It's adult life. Welcome to the world. It's fun. But what do? Well, if we don't have clear direction from God, we just take the next right step, and we allow God to be God on his timing. So what did they do? They went down to Troas. Now look at verse 9. What happened there at Troas? And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Our third point. When God says no, he does so for a reason. When God says no, he does so for a reason. Now listen, this was not the first time that God had told the Apostle Paul no. Before his first missionary journey, Paul had a vision. He was caught up, he said, to the third heaven. Yeah, this happened around 42 to 44 AD. This was before the first missionary journey. This is God still preparing Paul for the life that he had. But Paul was caught up to the third heaven, the presence of Almighty God. And he received revelations, he said, that were too lofty to even utter. And because of these surpassingly great revelations, Paul said there was given to him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to keep him from becoming conceited because of the powerfully grand heavenly revelations he had received. And do you know what the Apostle Paul said? And this is recorded in 2 Corinthians 12. He said, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away. How many of you can resonate with that? Three times I begged God, take away this thorn. And what did Jesus say? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. And so Paul said, as a result, I will boast about my weaknesses because I have come to understand that when I am weak, it's then that I'm strong. So when God says no to us, it's for a reason. In that case, it was so that Paul would learn to rely on Jesus and not on himself and not on the great revelations that he had received and not on all his educational pedigree and not on his parents' money and not on all the things that he had been building throughout his life. No, he had to learn to rely on Jesus. Would that be an important lesson for him to know as he went on the first missionary journey and the second missionary journey and the third missionary journey and then was taken as a prisoner to Rome and then released and then imprisoned in Rome again and then beheaded in Rome under the persecution of Nero? Would that be an important message for Paul to understand? You're going to have to rely on Jesus. And sometimes that's the reason God says no to us. So that we would understand we are 100% completely reliant upon him. And the way we take our next step is we trust him and follow him and say, lead me, Lord. And incidentally, I can't do this without you. I am insufficient for this. You ever feel that way? Can I tell you, being the pastor of First Baptist Church, that's a daily feeling for me. I'm insufficient for this. It's just true. But also being a dad, I am insufficient for this. Being a husband, I don't have what it takes. So I have to lean on the Lord and trust him. So, he gives us his answer. He doesn't always give us a reason, and that can be hard. But he calls us to trust him no matter what along the way. God had a reason that he said no to Asia and Bithynia because he wanted Paul and his companions to go into Macedonia and to carry the gospel into Europe. He would take care of Asia and Bithynia. But then he gave him this vision of this Macedonian man. Come to Macedonia and help us. And so what did they do? Well, verse 10. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately. Did you hear that word? Sounds like the Gospel of Mark, doesn't it? Immediately, we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Our fourth and final point. When God leads a different way, we answer yes by faith. When God leads a different way, we answer yes by faith. Think for a moment about the times in your life when God has told you no. I know you have them. If you've lived long enough, you have them. Let me ask you this. Have you lived long enough to be able to look back with that 20/20 vision of hindsight and say, oh, I understand now. That makes sense. I didn't marry her because you had something else for me. I didn't go into that career path because you had something else for me. I didn't take that job because you had something else for me. I didn't move into that house because you had something else for me. I didn't go to that city because you had something else for me. And I can see that now. And there's a point where sometimes you'll even start to thank God for telling you no. In other words, Garth Brooks sang about it, some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers, right? Well, I disagree theologically with Garth. I believe God answers all our prayers. Sometimes he just says no. And sometimes we can see that God's greatest gift to us is saying no to what we think we want in the moment. Now, that's not always the case. We don't always get to see with that 20/20 vision of hindsight. Some of us have heard no from God about very earnest prayers and we haven't seen yet how all that works out. And that can be hard. It can be frustrating. It can be maddening. It can be disappointing. But what do? We come at it with the perspective of faith to say, Lord, I don't understand right now. But I believe one day I will. And one day, if you're in Christ, you'll look back over the landscape of your life, and I believe this about my life, and I believe it about yours. Some of the moments we'll thank God for the most were moments when he said no, when we really wanted him to say yes, so that we could learn to trust him and follow him along the way.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time. We'd love to connect with you. Just email connect@firstbaptistbg.org or call 270-842-0331.